This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharis Abdullah and this is The Breakfast Grill. GoCar is one of the many transport service providers which offers a hassle-free car rental service for Malaysians. Alan Chia, the CEO of GoCar Malaysia, is on The Breakfast Grill to provide us insights about how GoCar is positioning itself in the competitive transport industry. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Okay, so let's start off with understanding your business. Is GoCar a car rental company or a car sharing company? And what is the difference, or is there any difference?
So actually, it's more of the purpose, right? Depending where we are, it can be a car sharing company, and it can be a car rental company as well. Because if you think about it, the concept of it is pretty much similar. It's just that we expanded the service value so that it serves more target clients, you know, it achieve a different type of objective in terms when it comes to fulfilling certain demands. Because, come on, car rental takes a longer process to basically get a car, right? And the minimum you can get it for is per day. So whereas in car sharing, it's more flexible, it's more convenient, it offers better options for all the users.
Okay.
So you can use it for more things, basically, right? That's basically the difference between these two.
I see. Because it seems when we look at GoCar's business model, it mirrors quite closely to a rental car business, yeah?
Yes.
As you mentioned, rather than a peer-to-peer car sharing. Because car sharing, some of those that understand it would look at it as existing assets that are being shared rather than the new acquired assets that are being rented out. So what do you say about this?
So basically, if you look at the most ideal world when it comes to transportation, right, is that car ownership should be the one on the way out, where else car sharing should be the one coming in, right? So if you look at in certain countries where even the car ownership sales have already dropped, but it doesn't drop that by that much because right now, the responsibility is taken up by fleet owners like me, right? Instead of them managing their own cars, we manage the fleet because we will have the technology to better tell them, hey, the car here now is available. Why not you use the car here? This car is, that location doesn't have many cars. Why not you go to another location? So we have the system to manage the car better. And you come to a point of time that if we are successful or when we are successful, right, car ownership should not be on the rise anymore. So the peer-to-peer car sharing will not work that well, right? You still need to own the fleet to basically service the entire community. Yeah.
Well, so you spoke about ideally someday we're looking at a reduction of car ownership.
Correct.
In Malaysia. So your car sharing solution, how is GoCar making it a reliable alternative in comparison to owning a car in Malaysia?
Okay, so we can't just play the role by ourselves. It has to be in conjunction with other players in terms of when you're talking about ride-hailing, public transportation, LRT, MRT. So all this infrastructure must be in place to basically then it only allows the users to replace car ownership. Just by GoCar alone, it won't work. Yeah, so okay. That's why we need the infrastructure to be up.
Okay, let's talk about e-hailing and what added value does GoCar offer on top of the already established ride-hailing industry?
Okay, so for ride-hailing, mostly people use it for very short distance. And, you know, maybe it's just point A to point B. For basically car sharing, you're basically using it for running errands, multiple point locations, longer journeys. So imagine if you're using a ride-hailing to go Ipoh to drop off someone, that would not be very feasible.
But how do you convince the public that going for a car rental lifestyle is more economical than actually owning a car?
So we have to play, gather all the data that we have right now, right? And we always try to publish it and show them the difference between owning a car in KL and going on these urban mobility solutions, right? So you're basically looking in that. If you're using in the combination of LRT, MRT, ride-hailing and GoCar, this is the kind of money that you save compared to when you're owning a car by yourself. Again, this is based on the person's occupation and what they use the car for. So That is the hurdle that we have to try to go to right now, the mindset change.
Right. Yeah. And based on the data that you have collected so far,
yes.
Do you think that you're able to convince users that going for car sharing alternative is much more economical than owning a car?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. So if we see it in right now in the urban cities especially, we are seeing a dynamic shift when it comes to our users in terms of the growth, in terms of the number of bookings happening. So we can tell that right now users also understand the feasibility of using all this transportation apart from car ownership. So car ownership right now is no longer the first option. So we are already seeing that shift in the mindset. So based on, and it's not just us, right? Ride-hailing companies has been trying to tell them the same thing too. Except now with us coming into the picture, they have an additional options when it comes to traveling. Yeah.
If you have just tuned in, I'm speaking to Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar, here on The Breakfast Grill. So let's talk about the budget 2019, which was tabled late last year. There was a mention about the introduction of a digital tax. So do you foresee any impact from the introduction of this tax with a digital company like GoCar?
Well, for us, we are still in, you know, on the 50-50 on that, right? Every time we try to convince them we are a tech company, they say we are a car rental company. So,
right. So you flip-flop between being a digital company and being a transport company.
Correct. Because the policy right now in Malaysia, we are working on it, but it's still not robust enough to recognize us as a tech company yet.
Okay.
We are basically a more advanced version of a car rental company.
Right, right.
Yes.
So at the moment, you are registered as a car rental company.
Yes.
As a business.
Well, for me,
but you market yourself as a car sharing slash
exactly.
sort of a digital company.
Yes.
Okay. But since you are in the realm of digital business and competition is very stiff, easily replicable. So let's talk about your business model and how easily it can be. Do you foresee it as a threat for a big car manufacturing company to replicate the business model that you currently have?
Yes, it is a possibility, right? But it's like you say, only maybe it's a big car manufacturing company they are able to do it, because running this business of car sharing is not a low capital business.
That's right.
Right, you need a lot of cars. You need a lot of access to locations. Mm. You then need to build the infrastructure to basically allow you to service the car, tow the cars, maintain the cars. So fortunately, of course, for us, it's slightly different. It's because we're invested by the Tanjong Group.
Okay.
So which means the infrastructure is already available.
All right.
Right. They have all the service centers, the workshops. So for someone to come in to play on this field, it has to be someone of similar stature.
Okay.
Like you say, a large manufacturing company.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically we have Volkswagen in Germany who are looking at introducing something similar.
Yes.
Even sometime this year, in fact. And Volkswagen, for example, they have a presence here in Malaysia already.
Correct.
So what do you have in mind as to mitigate the threat that we spoke about
that might
earlier?
Be coming.
Yeah.
So actually, in terms of you looking at, so some of my heroes in the car sharing industry, which is Car2Go and all these guys, it's the same thing that they're doing basically in Europe. And there's multiple players, right? And the market size is actually big enough for most of the players to get started. Whether they become a threat, I don't know. Whether we can work together, I don't know also.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it from this aspect, it's very hard to view each other as a threat right now. Even if they're coming in, because right now we know they're existing players as well, correct?
Yeah.
And yet, the market is still growing rapidly for both of us, or some of us.
Mm.
So in that aspect, and like I say, it's a matter of offerings, right? It's like public transportation. When it comes to it, whether you want to use the car, you want to use ride-hailing, it's a matter of options.
Right.
Of course, one day the market will be saturated.
So GoCar, you stand alongside with many different types of transport service providers, and that includes e-ride hailing, taxis, train services, and as well as your competitors. So is the market big enough for GoCar to compete in this already diverse transport service industry?
So the competition doesn't come against the other options, when I talk about LRT and e-hailings,
okay.
because we are supposed to complement each other.
Right.
Because you use them for certain objective, right, yeah. or running errands. And it is connectivity that we're looking at to make it into a seamless connectivity, right? So if you take out any part of this equation, then the entire urban mobility solution might not work as well. So what we're looking at is basically, for example, right, we park our cars at KTM stations. So what we're trying to do is trying to reduce cars on the road from the highway, right, from KL driving to Penang. And instead of driving there, why not you take the KTM there and then you jump into a Go car to go into the city center, run your errands,
mm-hmm.
and even park your car at the hotel for a certain short distance and then jump into a ride-hailing company.
Right.
So this is the kind of ecosystem we are looking at.
These transport service providers, they don't just complement, they are also a substitute to yes. your business.
Exactly.
How do you foresee the business growing from there?
Ah, good. Because one thing we're looking at is the amount of registered drivers in Malaysia.
Okay.
Right? So you're looking at that number. I'm sorry I can't share the number right now because okay. I actually forgot what's the number.
Uh-huh.
I still remember it's a couple of million. So you're looking at the number and you're telling, then it's able to tell you that there are that many drivers now in Malaysia, right? And that should be a good market size for us to look at, whether it's in the urban or rural area. Of course, even looking in the urban, our demand right now is surpassing our supply. So we are not expanding fast enough because we're waiting for the cars to come in, which
okay.
is coming in soon, because we just expanded to Penang and Johor. And even then, the usage is picking up, especially in Penang.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great stuff. Okay, I'm speaking to Alan Chia, the CEO of GoCar Malaysia. When we come back, I will ask Alan about GoCar's expansion plans and the challenges that they face. Stay tuned here at BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, we have Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar Malaysia. Earlier, we spoke about market share. Now, let's dive into your pricing strategies. With regards to the competition that exists within the car sharing platform, is price war still a viable strategy in comparison to collaboration?
Okay. Personally, I think price war only hurts everyone, right? Not just us, but the users. Because the moment that you remove all these subsidies and all these promos, that when you realize the true cost of running the business is very painful. Of course, we prefer more in collaboration, and that's how GoCar grow, actually. We actually do a lot of collaboration, whether with similar competitors or with other partners within the region. That's how we grow.
Okay, right? Could you give us some example, the types of collaborations that you have with your competitors?
Okay, for similar competitors, we have not launched it yet, but we are basically looking into a partnership of basically improving our car range, the variety of cars okay. that we can have.
Mm-hmm.
So those are one of the partnerships we are looking at. I'm not allowed to share the names yet because we have not even signed the documents. But that's the kind of partnership we're looking at, how to expand our services to more users in certain areas where we don't have reach.
Right.
So those are things we're looking at.
Okay, then let's tell us, how effective is your business partnership strategy and how important is this strategy? I mean, you spoke earlier about your competitors. How about different model of partnerships?
Okay, so with other partners, in terms of location partners, the location partners meaning is where we park our cars. Right? And one thing is that I really cherish all these partners of ours because they have been contributing much in terms of their resources and in terms of their, okay, one thing good is their database as well. They show us a demographic of the things that we can work on. And so with these partners, we have basically built a service packages where we allow their users or their community to basically jump on the platform easier, making it more seamless to them, making it more affordable for them, and allowing them to, and also teach them how to use the idea of urban mobility better, right? And so some similar, again, so maybe this is not the right time, right? There's many partners that we just recently signed up.
Okay.
And we're building an entire ecosystem that allow us to service the community among all these. And these are developers. So they're big developers. So what happened is that we're trying to connect all these townships together using GoCar and certain ride-hailing services together. So that's what we're doing, right? So we're building a very deep partnership that is able to contribute some values, or a lot of values actually, to all the communities and the residences in those townships.
Okay. Do you have a surge pricing model similar like the e-hailing services?
Oh, no, we don't. Our prices are pretty much fixed.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about marketing. How does your marketing strategy fare against your competitors?
Our marketing is a bit more on the, it's reaching out the community more as compared to our other competitors, right? So that's why most of the time you don't see us spread around everywhere. We run a lot of community events, and together with our biggest partner, which is Shell, recently we signed a partnership with them on spreading it to 100 sites. So those are the kind of marketing effort that we do together with our partners. So it's a lot of, back to your question earlier, right? How do we work together with our partners? So a lot of our marketing actually focuses on our partnership with all our partners. So basically, how can we service their community better? So a lot of our marketing budget is all spent on basically bringing value to the users, existing users, new users from our partners. And Shell has been very forthcoming with that. So they also run a lot of campaign together with us. So together, we're basically coming up with more solutions that we see that is beneficial to both our users. So all our marketing effort is focused on that. So that's why you see a lot of community events coming from us, apart from, we hardly run ads and that sort of stuff actually, except on Facebook.
Right, right. Yeah. So you're saying that you a lot of your marketing strategies involve being engaged with the communities and being on the ground. But it sounds like you're not reaching fast enough to the overall population in the Klang Valley. Besides these marketing strategy, are there any other strategies that you apply?
This year, we will have more because our budget was just approved. Last year is a bit tight, so we are more careful with how we spend our marketing budget. That's why we feel that building deeper relationship with the community actually helps us more, because it comes to the point of time where the word of mouth done by our community is actually stronger than all the new outreach. Okay. And we can see from data, right? We have run campaigns before where we go out there and get more people to sign up, but the drop-off rate is just as fast.
Okay.
And then when we run community events, the pickup rate is actually slower, but it's actually the retention is higher.
I'm currently speaking to Alan Chia, the CEO of GoCar, here on The Breakfast Grill. Okay, so how much has GoCar invested so far? And has GoCar recorded profit since?
So GoCar recently was... I think you all know that GoCar was acquired by Tan Chong Group, right? So our investment comes in form of cars, right? So it basically means that every time we need a fleet of cars, Tan Chong will basically supply us those fleet. And in terms of reaching profit, no, we're not there yet. And I think it will not be so soon, at least for a couple of more years. Yeah, because everything that comes back in, we are basically expanding again. The expansion is moving very fast.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Is there a pathway to profitability, or is it right now the focus is just simply about growth and market share?
Not just market share. So we are very careful when it comes to our bottom line. So we just make sure that the ratio is not that far away or that wide when it comes to reaching profitability, because that's the why we are very careful with spending, because we want to see a pathway to profitability. And we've seen it happening around the world in other car sharing companies. So we see the same thing for Malaysia as well. So as much as we are a tech business, we're also very careful about running it as a profitable business. Yeah.
Let's talk about the environmental aspect of what GoCar does, yeah? So GoCar claims that it contributes towards a greener transport ecosystem. Is there any merit in us calling GoCar is actually adding more cars on the road rather than utilizing existing cars that are already on the road?
Yes, people love asking me that question. So what is happening right now, we have to put enough cars on the road first, to basically to get people to jump on board to use this platform and understand the idea of urban mobility before we can start reducing car ownership. You know, the chicken and egg thing.
Sure.
So we have decided which comes first.
Okay.
So by pumping more cars into the ecosystem and getting more people on the platform and then coming on to the future, people will start thinking that, hey, I don't need to buy a car now. So automatically, we are slowly reducing the car ownership within the communities. So that's what we are looking at.
Okay, but how about the peer-to-peer model? Is that something still in the pipeline for GoCar, or is that...
We're mulling over it, right? For a reason that because there are people already doing that. So if they're already fulfilling that market need, I don't think GoCar will need to go into it. But we will see, we really will see, that whether we should exert our resources into moving into a peer-to-peer platform.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe, like you say, it's better if I just partner with them.
There are not many of those companies at the moment who are providing a peer-to-peer rental service in Malaysia, at least, that we're aware of.
I think there's a few. I think QuickCar is a peer-to-peer.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think also MoveBe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's peer-to-peer as well.
You're very heavy right now with the asset that you're holding, especially the number of cars, the number of fleet.
Actually, no. We're actually using existing fleet. I'm going to share. We're actually using existing fleet from the Tantrum Group, right?
Oh, right.
So which is actually not a heavy investment for us. Okay. And these are not cars that are... Not all the cars are brand new. Some cars are already been part of the corporate fleet. So basically, that's how we utilize cars within the group that is not being utilized fully.
What are your strategies to rival your competitors that has more car and access point on the road?
Okay, same thing. What we're looking at this year is basically expanding to the entire of the Peninsula Malaysia. Of course, not all the states. And of course, forging deeper partnership with most of our existing partners, because our existing partners like Shell, KTM, LRT, all these have very strategic locations that we use to basically complement, like remember just now I mentioned, the seamless connectivity?
Yeah.
So those are the things that we're looking at. In terms of more locations, yes, we are looking into that too, but we are more careful in terms of spreading ourselves too thin, right? We still want to basically create a scenario where the moment you walk out of your house, the nearest go-kart should not be more than 5 or 10 minutes away. Yeah.
Right. How well is your go-kart business performing in Pulau Langkawi?
That, I got to admit, is very seasonal.
Right.
Yeah, it really follows the tourists. Because that one is no such thing as local users.
Okay.
It's actually more for the tourists.
Okay. And yeah, in comparison to your urban location, how do they fare?
Compared to Langkawi?
Yeah.
Then the urban one is way better.
Oh, is that
yeah,
right?
Because the urban one, we get the mix of the local users, the tourists, the anyone, the commuters. So it's way, way better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, on that note, I've been speaking to Alan Chia, the CEO of GoCar Malaysia. Alan, thanks for being on the show. This has been The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.